Good morning.
Hello.
I forgot to ask you for the clicker. Sorry about that. If you could just throw that first PowerPoint up there. Before I introduce myself, I want to throw some up there to kind of give you a little background. If you can connect with any of that. And yes, there is redemption after a 1.64 college GPA. Okay? I graduated University of Maryland, College Park, with a bachelor's in accounting, worked in D.C. for a couple years, with a 3.3 by the grace of God, because I came to know Christ in college. Before, in high school, I was, how would you say, one of those guys that go to nightclubs and did all that jazz and didn't really know. What about church? How many of you guys grew up in the church? How many, show of hands? Okay, most of you. How many of you did not grow up in the church like me? Not many. Okay. Well, see, I'm not saying that you guys do this, the ones that don't go to didn't grow up in the church. But for me, I grew up in the church. I did not grow up in the church, so I thought church people were dweebs, dorks, geeks, whatever the modern vernacular is for nerds. Do you guys still use those terms at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what I thought about church people because, see, I went to nightclubs and I was cool. I was wearing Calvin Klein, Perry Ellis, none of this stuff right here, okay? Because after Christ, this didn't really matter to me anymore. I was sold out. I was all in for Christ. But back then, I didn't know about Jesus. And so, that's a little background. I'll touch on some of that later. All right, and we go like that. Romans 8:28 is one of my life verses, and basically it says that God orchestrates, if you're following along in your outlines, God orchestrates every single aspect of your life. No, I'm good. Thanks. Every single aspect of your life for good, because He loves you. My family and I moved to Indonesia. Oh, by the way, Anne, Mary, David, and Nathan Cho are my kids, and we're related to Rachel Johnstone. Her mom is my wife's sister, because I still run across people that don't know that, and just to kind of set the record straight here. So Rachel's mom is my wife's sister, so I'm her uncle, kind of, yeah, more or less. And that's my wife back there. You want to say hi, Sarah. And that's my son, Nathan. That's the youngest over there. Brings laughter to our family, but also tears. You guys know what I mean by that. Before there were six, there were four. This is 1 year before we left for Indonesia. Before there were four, there were two. And our basic engagement was 3-hour conversation. 8 months later, we got married. Short story. Long story, you can ask us later. And of course, before there were two, there was one. How many ballers out there? Yes. Volleyballers? Basketballers? Yes. That was my life. My dream was to be on the Olympic team back in the 80s. I was pressing. I was squatting in college. I was doing everything I could for volleyball. I was dunking the ball, okay? I was 5'9". I was dunking the ball when I was in college. That was years ago. I can't do that anymore. I can't even touch the rim anymore. But I still play ball. And that's why I got this, because I sprained it 3 months ago and waiting to be healed. How did I end up in Indonesia? That's one of the frequently asked questions. Short story is, my wife and I wrote it down on a piece of paper and came back, and it was Indonesia. Long story, this is part of the long story. And I'll touch on some of this later if I have time. Okay. Now, I have some Jolly Ranchers. Whoops. For anybody who can give me some guesses for what SSA stand for. Anybody? What? Okay, that's a good one. Super sassy American, yes. Anybody else? What? Super secret agents, okay. Good enough. Back there? Social Security Agency. That's a good one too. Oops, sorry. One more. Same-sex attraction. Whoa. I'll give it to you, but... All right. Well, it actually stands for, if we can go forward, Sunday School Answer. Okay? Now, the reason I bring that up is because I try not to be churchy, because I didn't grow up in the church, and I try to use everyday language, because I found that the longer you're a Christian, the longer you grew up in the church, the more and more likely it is that you start using churchy words. Words that the rest of the world does not understand or comprehend. And if you have a problem sharing the gospel with people, most of the time it's because of the words that you use. I'm going to try to use non-churchy words. I still slip up sometimes because I came to faith in 91, 92. And so I've kind of gotten the churchy language into my soul too. So I use them and they mean a lot for you guys. But sometimes they don't mean a lot for other people. So just keep that in mind. What do I do in Indonesia? I kill roaches and mosquitoes. Okay, one story. I got the spray bottle. I saw two roaches going under the washing machine. I said, I got these guys. I waited. I expected Tom and Jerry to come out. Tom and Jerry came out, but he brought his brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandparents and everybody else. Some flying out. Okay, so I was swatting them with my hand. One flew on my son, David, and he has some traumatic experience, inner healings. And I learned never to do that again. But seriously, I teach about the gospel. That's what I did. Core essence of the gospel. Because have you guys ever played telephone charades? You guys know what that is? Yeah? Yeah. It's when you line up and then there's a message over here. Everybody's facing that way. The message kind of gets pantomimed down this way. And the message is like bull, right? In the beginning, it's like this guy going like this and he's bull. But then by here, they just kind of lose the... And then they start, both feet are going. And by the end, you got this guy going like the running man, right? Now, how in the world did that happen? Was it intentional or not? No, usually not. Some guys, some goofballs, they make it intentional and they just kind of mess it up. But usually it's not intentional. And sadly, that's what happens to the gospel. Not just 14 years after Jesus, Peter and Paul had a confrontation. Paul had to rebuke Peter in front of a bunch of people saying, you are not in line with the gospel. Why? Because they lost the other side of the gospel. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today, the grace of God. All right. For God in half the gospel. What is that? Anybody know what is this? Timeline? What does the left side of the number line represent? No. Huh? Something related to numbers? Negative? Integers, yeah. There's this thing called symbol of infinity. The right side is positive infinity. You don't get dollar answer for that. That's an easy one. Now I'm gonna make a spiritual analogy here. For the left and left, negative infinity is wrongness. Okay, we call that sin in church. I want to call it wrongness. A sense of wrongness. You got something wrong. You did something wrong. That's wrongness. When we fail, there's a sense of wrongness, right? And repent, you say you're sorry, you kind of acknowledge that you did something wrong, that's called repentance, and that kind of brings you back to zero, right? Forgiveness, the death on the cross, churchy language. But there is another side. But often we forget that. We forget that. Because we're forgetful people, aren't we? I am. So, how do we receive the other side? Receive rightness. How do we do that? We'll talk about that a little bit. Mercy, have you guys heard this? Mercy is withholding something that somebody deserves, punishment that somebody deserves. And grace is receiving something that you don't deserve. Okay? That's how mercy and grace works. Mercy is God saying, I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to cancel your debt. Grace says, I'm going to give you my righteousness. I'm going to give you everything that Jesus did in his life. I'm going to give you. It's like somebody canceling a $1 billion debt that you had and then giving you $1 billion that you inherited, but you did nothing for it. The gospel is the best news that you could ever hear. Amen? That is the best news we could ever hear. Let me say something about that. Jolly Rancher time. Who knows when the gospel was first heard? 26 AD? What book of the Bible? Genesis? Okay, here you go, whoever that said that. All right. Now, honestly, how many of you guys thought it was like Matthew, Mark, New Testament? How many of you guys thought that, honestly? Yeah? How many of you guys actually knew it was in Genesis? Not many? Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay? Galatians, it says that the gospel was first preached, the good news was first preached to Abraham. Was Abraham New Testament, Old Testament? Old Testament. If you want to look specifically, it's Genesis chapter 12. And it says that when God was talking to Abraham, he was saying that all nations will be blessed through you. That was the gospel message. That was the gospel message in the Old Testament. Genesis 12. Okay? The best news we could ever hear happened back there in Genesis 12. All right? Now, the gospel is about Jesus Christ and his power to transform our lives, relationships, communities, and ultimately, what? Anybody? Nations. The nations. You don't get candy because you're my daughter. You get leftovers anyway. The nations. The gospel is not just for individual salvation. It's for the nations. It's for the world. Genesis chapter 12 says that all nations will be blessed through you, Abraham. And as Christians, we are descendants of Abraham and have the same call to bless the nations. And that's why Bob and his team are in England. That's why there's a Brazil team going out. That's why we went to Haiti with my kids, with the junior high. That's why there's missions all over the place. Because it's about the nations and God's glory. Matthew chapter 24, 14 says, and this gospel, good news of the kingdom, will be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. There's a link there. There's a link there. If you're looking forward to the coming of Jesus, it's because this gospel has to go out to every single nation, be heard, and then the end will come. It's about the kingdom. Through this gospel, we are freely given a new what? Anybody?
Identity.
Oh, who got that over here? Identity. Not based on race, social class, gender, a religious system, or system of do's and don'ts. Okay? I'm going to tell you a story about my wife. And how many of you guys use snooze on your phones or your alarm clocks or your watches, whatever? Come on, be honest. You're just sitting there like, The rest of you don't use, maybe the rest of you don't even use alarm clocks. That's probably the other guess. Well, anyway, I thought that being spiritual meant you got to wake up early, you got to sit in front of the Bible and, like, you know, doing this stuff. Way back when I first became a Christian, that's what I thought spirituality was. I thought that's what it meant to be mature. That's what it meant to grow in Christ. And so that's what I did. I set my alarm at like 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up. But back then, I didn't have a lot of discipline. So that snooze thing was like, But see, I was married, and that thing woke my wife up. And for you guys that are not married, you don't want to do that. And so one day, she got so frustrated with that. One day I come home, and she's got a big smile on her face, and she says nothing, and she just got a big smile on her face. And so I like, what's going on with that? And I go over, and then it's at nighttime, ready to set my alarm. I look at my alarm clock, and the snooze button was rigged off. She took a screwdriver and busted it out, so there's no snooze button anymore. I was finding my sense of righteousness in getting up early and praying and doing all Bible study, and I learned that, you know what? Spirituality is not about that. It's not about going on mission trips. It's not about doing Bible study. It's not about reading your Bible, praying, doing all the spiritual stuff at church. It's about Christ and His righteousness that's given to you, the other half of the gospel, and not about all the other stuff. Okay? Okay, here we go. Religion and the gospel. Okay, let me distinguish between the religion and the gospel. Okay? Because I don't know if you guys have seen this before. You can get that off of Tim Keller and other series. Obey, therefore I'm accepted, religion says. Any religion is the same. Any religion, Confucianism, Buddhism, any religion, Islam, they all have a book. We all have a book. And the book says to do this, this, and this to be moral. Every religion. Okay? But the gospel says, no, we are accepted. Woo! Come on. Let's go. Oh, too far. All right, sorry about that, guys. I was impatient. Well, where am I going? All right, here we go. Slowly but surely, we're getting there. Okay. I'm accepted through Christ, therefore I obey. This is very, very topsy-turvy. Every other religion in the world says, I obey, therefore I'm accepted. Every religion. There's a book that I need to follow to be accepted by God. No. Christ says, you are accepted because of grace. Unconditional loving kindness in Christ. And because of that, fills you with gratefulness. Therefore, you express that gratefulness and thanksgiving in obedience. Completely opposite. This is religion. I obey to be accepted. The gospel says, I'm accepted and loved and adopted and approved. And so I obey as an expression of thankfulness. Religion sees people as good or bad. That's it. The gospel sees people as humble or prideful. Thief on the cross, in heaven or not in heaven? Yes, in heaven. Good, bad guy, good guy. Bad guy, thief, murderer, bad guy. But the gospel says, it doesn't matter. Murderers, gay, homosexuals, all those people, gangsters. You guys know who Jesus is, right? He was the guy that was known as friend of sinners. He hung out with those people that we think are so bad. But he hung out with them, getting a reputation that he was a friend of these guys. Are you willing to be considered a friend of somebody who belongs to the LGBTS? Lesbian, gay community? Or are you, with that whole Supreme Court thing, that's it. But you know what? Christ is more than just politics. Jesus sees Jesus as the means. The gospel sees Jesus as the end. Motivated by fear and selfishness, whereas the gospel is motivated by love and gratefulness. Okay. Rather, it is a new and perfect identity based solely on faith in Jesus, an identity that what?
Defines.
Just recently, I got mad at my wife, or upset, or irritated, because she threw away, you guys know swim goggles, the rubber part of the swim goggles, they kind of fall out sometimes, or they get ripped after a while, and David, my son, told me about it, and he told me that my wife threw away the rubber part, and I thought, I could have fixed that. I just needed some glue. And so in my mind, because see, I'm a Christian. And so we're supposed to be good stewards of our money, right? And we're supposed to use as much as we can and not buy stuff all the time. And so for me, my sense of rightness was in fixing stuff and saving money. There was somebody else like that in the Bible. Do you know who that was? Judas. He was all in the money. How could you spend that on the perfume? We could have sold that and given it to the poor. And so my righteousness, my sense of rightness was in saving money and fixing things. And I lost sight of the fact that, you know what? It's only a few dollars. Get over it, Tony. Love your wife. And get over your rightness in those things. Each of us has a different rightness. You can find rightness in all kinds of things. What you wear, how popular you are, how many likes you have, right? Instagram stuff, all the social media stuff, that's kind of geared towards kind of puffing up your sense of rightness, your sense of popularity, okay? I want you to guard your hearts against that as believers, because that's the world's pushing you into finding your sense of significance, sense of identity in those things and not in Christ. We're now forgiven, loved, righteous, accepted, adopted, approved, free, and heirs to everything that belongs to Christ. Romans 3:22 says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Sense of significance and approval comes from your faith and belief in what Jesus did. Not just his death and forgiveness, but in his life, what he did. When he lived upon this earth, he earned all the good points that God can give anybody. Okay? So he's got all these points earned. How many guys frequent flyer miles on your flights? How many guys have flown planes and stuff? It's like you have all these points. Points in whatever, you know, whether it be Wegmans or points doing this, points doing that. You get all these points. And God's saying, I'm going to give it to you. Though you did nothing. And that is grace. And, you know, one of the scariest passages for me is Matthew chapter 7, where it says, Jesus, Lord, Lord, I've done all these miracles in your name. I've preached the gospel. I've done this and I've done that. I've read my Bible 10,000 times and I've done this. And his response is, but I never knew you. That's scary to me. Because I lump myself, missionaries, pastors, PKs, MKs, people who grew up in the church. You guys have to be aware that it's more than just the superficial spiritual performance. That grace is so much more and deeper than that. The gospel says, even our sin, weaknesses, failures, and our past do not define who we are. Sin, weaknesses, and failures in the past do not define who we are. How many of you guys know Matt West? Heard his songs? Yeah? I love one of his songs that talk about, Hello, my name is. Let me read you a couple of lines from the song. Hello, my name is. This is Satan talking. It says, Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we've met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again until you've lost all belief. I know it's different when you say the words and sing the songs. But the line I hear, I love is, oh, these are the voices. Now, this is the person speaking. These are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I believe them for the very last time. The spiritual reality is that Satan is the smartest, most cunning, most manipulative, most deceitful being in the entire universe. Satan existed before man was created. Okay? So he has a lot of experience. A few more than we do, I think. And he knows us in and out. So he knows what works. And this is the strategy that he works. He works so slowly and speaks so many half-truths that we don't even know he's there. This is the way he speaks sometimes. He'll make you feel guilty by saying things like, really? You really think God's going to forgive you for that for the 25th time? That's Satan's voice. What's the point? You're just going to end up doing it again. Satan's voice. Or give you a false sense of security and pride. Oh, you know, he's going to forgive you anyway, so just do whatever you want. Satan's voice. Satan loves to use miscommunication and lack of communication, lost text, emails, and cyberspace to cause hurt feelings, conflict, and all kinds of other messiness in the body of Christ. That's all Satan. Some of that is your sinfulness, our sinfulness, but some of that is Satan. In reference to spending time with God, he'll say things like, why bother read? You don't get anything out of it anyway. Satan's voice. Do you really want people to think you're a legalist by reading so much of your Bible? Satan's voice. The Bible is for naive people, for nerds. And if you don't want to be labeled as a nerd, that's Satan's voice. You're too busy for that. Look at all the deadlines you've got for school, all the projects and papers, all the sports events that you have to go to, all the practices, all the recitals that you have to do. Satan's voice. Not that those things are bad. They get elevated to the point where it becomes more important and significant, and you find your sense of significance in those things, not in Christ. That's when you got to draw the line. Biggest thing that he's got going for him now, that he's invisible most of the time and works so slowly that you don't even know. You don't feel it. You don't feel the little inch by inch darkness of your soul that happens. All right. I'm going to read you part of this book here. But for you, Jays, Myers-Briggs, I'm just going to finish this for you. Because of this good news, we no longer have to hide from our sin, pretend that we have it all together, for God knows and loves us as we are, not as we pretend to be. As we are, not as we pretend to be. Okay, all the blanks filled in? You guys happy? All right. How many of you guys have read this book before? You are special? No? Okay, well, it'll be a review. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and gray dot stickers. The wooden people went around the village sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones got stars. Wemmicks with rough wood or chipped paint got dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could jump over tall boxes or sing pretty songs. Others, though, could do little, and they got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like others, but he always fell. So the Wemmicks would give him dots. When he tried to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, so the Wemmicks would give him more dots. He deserves lots of dots, the wooden people would say. Yes, I am a comedian too. After a while, Punchinello believed them. I guess I'm not a very good wimmick, he decided. So he stayed inside most of the time. When he did go outside, he hung around other wimmicks who had lots of dots. He felt better around them. One day, he met a different kind of wimmick named Lucia. She had no dots or stars. The wimmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would give her a star, but it would fall off. Others gave her a dot for not having any stars, but it wouldn't stay either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. So he asked Lucia how she did it. It's easy, she replied. Every day, I go visit Eli the woodcarver. Why? You'll find out if you go see him. Then Lucia turned and skipped away. But will he want to see me? Punchinello wondered. Later at home, he sat and watched the wooden people giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself. And he decided to go see Eli. Punchinello walked up the narrow path and stepped into Eli's shop. His eyes grew big. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on tiptoe to see the top of the workbench. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. Then he heard his name.
Punchinello?
The voice was deep and strong.
How good to see you. Come, let me have a look at you.
Punchinello looked up. You know my name?
Of course, I made you.
Eli picked him up, set him on the bench.
Looks like you've been given some bad marks, said the maker.
I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard.
Punchinello, I don't care what the other wimmicks think.
You don't?
No, you shouldn't either. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think. And I think you are pretty special.
Punchinello laughed. Me? Special? Why? I'm not very talented. My paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli spoke very slowly.
Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me.
Punchinello didn't know what to say.
Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained.
I came because I met Lucia, said Punchinello. That means I have 5 minutes. Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly.
Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what others think. The stickers only stick if you let them.
What?
The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers.
I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled.
You will, but it will take time. For now, come to see me every day and let me remind you how much I care.
He lifted Punchinello off the bench, set him on the ground.
Remember,
Eli said as Punchinello was leaving,
you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes.
Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground. What I think is more important than what others think. The teachers only stick. Stickers only stick if you let them. They only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about others. You guys are smart. You guys can make the spiritual analogy to this story, right? What did Eli tell Punchinello to do to trust my love? To come and see him every day. Why? Because Punchinello is forgetful. I'm forgetful. You're forgetful. In other words, osmosis with Jesus. You guys know what osmosis means? Science term. Osmosis. Dictionary definition says, a subtle or gradual absorption or mingling, a usually effortless, often unconscious assimilation, an ability to learn and understand things gradually without much effort. Being in the presence of God, being reminded of who you are, your identity, your righteousness in Christ. Devotions, but with a different purpose. Okay? Not devotions to just read, but devotions to be reminded of who you are in Christ. That's what I have to do every day. Like, remind myself, what does His Word say about me? Versus, what does the world say about me? How to live out the gospel, the other side, repent and receive. Repent and receive. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us, He will forgive you for everything, all the unrighteousness. But the other half of the gospel says, receive the righteousness of Christ, receive His approval, receive His acceptance, receive everything in Christ into your life, into your heart. That you don't have to prove yourself to other people. You don't have something to prove. I use this to help me. I call this my gospel IV. You guys have been to the hospital, you know what an IV is, right? This is my gospel IV. I love this thing called continuous play. Oh my. Back when I got this, I'm like, wow, you don't have to pick it up and then try to find where you are. It just picks up where you left off. So I listen to Tim Keller sermons because he is right on. John Piper says he is the most effective communicator of the gospel that he's ever heard. Coming from John Piper, that says a lot. Maybe it could be some other things. Tim Keller, books, other media. Right Now Media is a great resource. Have you guys heard of that? How many of you guys have an account, Right Now Media? You know what that is? It's like the Christian Netflix. And I just checked with RBC, and if you want to, you can have your own personal account. Just email info@restandbible.org, and you can just get your own account. And then there's tons of stuff on. I just watched this little two-minute video about detergent, this little funny parody about insurgents. Anyway. And there's another one called How Not to Pray. That was a really funny one. Mary didn't think it was funny, but I thought it was funny. Table talk question. Before you get there, I want to pray for you guys because apart from the grace of God, apart from the Spirit of God, we can't really do this. So let's pray. God, thank you that you didn't leave us just to do this on our own. You left your Holy Spirit. That is a seal upon our hearts for your presence, just to remind us that we are not alone, that you will never leave us, as your word says. And thank you that we don't have to do it, we don't have to like try to do it on our own willpower, because we can't. And that's why you had to come and die, because you knew that we couldn't. Thank you, God, that you forgive us. But thank you that you give to us all that we need in Christ. Thank you for that song this morning that reminds us of that truth. That in you, we have all that we need. The righteousness, the sense of significance and importance and approval. Freedom. That we don't have to be boxed into a label. That we don't have to wear a certain kind of clothes to fit in. We don't have to do certain things to feel like accepted. Thank you, God, that your gospel, your good news in Christ is enough. And I pray for myself and for my brothers and sisters here that you would remind us. Use every means possible to get your truths into our souls, so that we can walk in the light and walk in freedom and take drinks from your refreshing fountain, Lord, and reject the lies of Satan, reject the lies that he constantly sends our way, shoots at us every single day. Help us, Lord, to guard our thoughts in Christ Jesus, so that we would be able to walk in the light. Repent and receive. Repent and receive every day. So our souls would be healthy and ready to just receive and live and experience all the joy and contentment that you've intended for us in Christ. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.